From the Missouri School of Journalism, welcome to Global Journalist. I'm Jason McClure. The worldwide success of CNN has spawned many competitors in the 24-hour TV news business. I'm not talking about just MSNBC and Fox News. Many foreign governments also took note of how CNN influenced public opinion in the 1980s and 1990s, not just in the U.S., but all around the world. Oil-rich Qatar, of course, started Al Jazeera. Other governments like France and Germany also followed suit. China, too, has its own 24-hour news network in English, and that's going to be the focus of today's show. Launched in 2010 as CCTV, China's state-owned English-language channel has since rebranded itself as CGTN and built a large bureau in Washington, D.C. Now, as you might expect from a news channel owned by China's government, it's not the place to turn to if you want news about corruption in China's Communist Party or reporting on China's widespread violations of human rights. It's even drawn headlines back in 2013 for broadcasting a forced confession from a Canadian man arrested by the Chinese government. We would add, though, that the channel has won some awards for its coverage of topics unrelated to Chinese politics. And so to take a closer look at CGTN, we're joined today by Mike Walter. He's the principal news anchor at CGTN and hosts the channel's current affairs show, Full Frame. Before CGTN, he worked for a number of local news stations and later for USA Today. Well, Mike Walter, welcome to Global Journalist.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, talk to us about your career. You've been in broadcast news for a long time, worked for a bunch of different stations.
I worked in radio for a while, worked in television, actually worked here in Missouri for about a decade. I worked at KTVI in St. Louis and then was at KNBC and WDAF in Kansas City for a time as a weekend anchor.
And eventually you were at USA Today and covered the September 11th attacks.
Yes.
Not just covered them, but you actually witnessed the attack on the Pentagon. Tell us about that.
So I was driving into work and I was listening to the radio accounts of what was going on in New York and Washington, D.C. traffic is just abysmal. And I was stuck in traffic and I was sitting there thinking, if I don't get into work, they're going to dispatch somebody else to New York. I'm going to miss this huge story. That's all that was going through my mind. And so I was really upset and banging my steering wheel and going, come on, move. And finally, kind of spoke to myself and said, you know, you need to chill out. You're going to have a heart attack. So I rolled down the window, put out my arm, and it was a nice sunny day. And I heard this jet and I looked up and I saw it as it banked. And then it started screaming towards the Pentagon. And, you know, they say it's like slow motion. It is like slow motion. You're watching this. You know what's going to happen. You know that all those people on that plane are going to die. You know that wherever they hit in the Pentagon, those people are going to die. And you're helpless. It was unbelievable. I know you've been a journalist for a long time. I've covered murder trials, mass murder trials, but I've never watched mass murder right in front of me. And that's what I witnessed that day. And of course, that day was just extraordinary. And one of the byproducts of it, of course, was that I dealt with a lot of trauma as a result. I mean, I had nightmares and went into deep depression. But that actually created a pathway for me to make this documentary, Breaking News, Breaking Down, which I feel like was a Valentine's to journalism, because I've shown it to a lot of journalists all around the world, and the response has just been extraordinary. A lot of people who've had traumatic events in their lives, who've never talked about it, sharing, crying. So people ask me what the film's about. I say it's about trauma, but it's also about permission, because I think in our business, and I think you'll agree with this, we kind of have this tough bravado. And we don't want to acknowledge, you know, that the job can get to us. But
sure.
We observe.
Like,
but
I'm
we
just
absorb.
An observer.
Exactly.
But I'm outside the events that
exactly.
are happening, and therefore I don't have feelings
yeah.
about them.
Yeah.
But it's not the case.
No, because you do observe, but you absorb. And it's like a boxer, in, you know, who takes punch after punch after punch. At one point, they're going to land a punch. And that was 9/11 for me.
Mike, if I could turn you to your work for CGTN, you I think this network started about 7 years ago in the U.S. Who's your audience and what do they see?
I would say that our audience, obviously it's an international audience. We're in 100 countries and territories around the world. Obviously, we've got a lot of viewers in China. But our audience in the United States, I think, would be people who are interested in international news. We've got a lot of academics, I think, that watch us, people who have a fascination with Asia. I mean, that's if you're watching Al Jazeera, I would suspect you have an interest in the Middle East. If you watch the BBC, Europe's probably your interest. Clearly, we cover both of those areas of the globe as well. But I would say our primary focus is Asia, China as well.
And you're the host of this weekly magazine show, Full Frame. Talk to us about that show.
It's a fascinating show for me to work on. I love it. We've had the opportunity to interview Bill Gates and Yao Ming and a host of dignitaries, authors, artists, and actors, Academy Award winners. But the show's kind of shifted this year. I guess if you were to kind of bottle it into, you know, what's your elevator pitch, would be more of it's kind of like a TED Talk. We're trying to find people who are experts in specific areas and talk to them. And we're trying to explore topics that people aren't talking about. Our first show is about overpopulation for the new season.
I wanted to ask you about CGTN's relationship with the Chinese state, since it is, of course, owned by the Chinese government, and the Chinese government's controlled by the Communist Party. Several years ago, I worked as a reporter overseas, and one thing that stood out to me there about state-run Chinese news journalists was that they had diplomatic passports. They were literally part of China's embassy in the countries where I was, and there was no question that they were sort of there to promote the interests of the Chinese state in the same way a diplomat is. I mean, are things similar at CGTN? How do you view yourselves?
What year would that have been? I'm just curious.
That would have been 2010, 2011.
Oh, wow. Okay. I would say that the thrust is this. I think when I first started there, I applied, I got the job. Then all of a sudden you get kind of panic-stricken for all the issues you just brought up. Who am I going to work for? What is this going to be? So I spent an entire weekend watching, before I went for the job interview, watching CCTV is what it was called at the time. It's since changed to CGTN. So I watched CCTV all weekend long, and I watched the BBC, and I watched Al Jazeera, and I kind of compared notes. What are they covering, and what are these other networks covering, including CNN International?
Yeah, what differences did you note?
So that's going to be my point. I went into the job interview, and Ma Zhang, who is the boss of the operation, basically what you would consider a bureau chief, they call it director general, asked the first question. And she had an article from the Financial Times, and it basically had the thrust that, you know, this is going to be a propaganda arm for the Chinese government, and it's just a couple of blocks from the White House. And she said, so what do you make of that? And I said, well, you know, I watched this weekend and I compared. And the major difference I saw was that Wen Jiabao, the premier, was at a conference in Thailand, and you did a 20-second VO about him. And I started to think, if that was David Cameron, I think the BBC would probably do 20 seconds on it. If it was Obama, I think CNN International would do 20 seconds on it. So if you're trying to brainwash me, I think you're doing a lousy job of it. And everybody in the room laughed. But that was a concern that they came back to on a number of occasions. And I said, look, the only way that you're going to be able to turn the page on this, all these criticisms, is that if we do really good journalism and we get it right and we do it even better than the other guys. We can't make mistakes because everybody's looking over our shoulder. And I'm still there 7 years later.
This is Global Journalist. On today's program, we're talking about the China Global Television Network, the 24-hour news station owned by the Chinese government that broadcasts in English to about 35 million American households through cable and satellite. We're joined by Mike Walter, an anchor for the network. So, well, let me just ask you about how you think, I mean, there's I think 100 and some American journalists that work in your bureau, is that right? So I guess I won't ask you to speak for all of them, but speak for yourself. Like, journalists in the U.S. traditionally sort of think of themselves as being sort of responsible to the public trust and to the viewer, to their audience, sort of first and foremost. How do journalists at a news network owned by the Chinese state, controlled by the Chinese Communist Party, how do they think about those?
Well, I wouldn't say, you know,
Where is your first responsibility?
I would kind of challenge the notion that we're controlled by the Chinese state, which gives this kind of nebulous, like there's somebody there pulling the levers and I'm there at the desk doing this. I would say that this newsroom operates very much like every other newsroom I've worked at. I don't see it as... And maybe I should take a step back and say it doesn't, because where I was at before I went to work at CGTN, I was at WUSA, the CBS affiliate in Washington, D.C. We were talking about Britney Spears, and we were talking about Charlie Sheen, and we were talking about Paris Hilton. We were trying to do all these water cooler stories, hoping that we could gin up audience and looking at the ratings every day. We don't spend a lot of time doing that. Whatever's the big story of the day, we're chasing it. And we're trying to do the best international news of anybody. And I just got a tweet this week from a gentleman who had a question about one of our stories, you know, and Twitter, people are constantly critical.
So if I could just stop you, if I understand things correctly, it sounds like you're saying CGTN is as editorially independent of the Chinese state as, say, the BBC is from the British government, which is also owned by the British government.
We don't have minders. We don't have censors. To finish my point about this tweet, the guy had a question about one of the stories, and I said, you know, A, thank you for watching. B, I appreciate that you questioned this story. I'm going to check with the reporter on this, and I'm also going to send your note to the senior producer. And if we made a mistake on this story, we can't put the genie back in the bottle, but I'm going to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And he wrote back saying, of course I watch you. I think that you guys rival the BBC and Al Jazeera, and I'm telling all my friends to watch you. So, you know, we get a lot of criticism in the press about this Chinese, oppressive Chinese state. But I think you've worked in news. I've worked in news. I don't know how you get it on the air when you've got people walking around going over every piece of copy and stuff. I mean, this is like any other newsroom in that, you know, we get on the air and we get off the air and we do one of these. Wow, I can't believe we got these live shots on. And it's the same as any other newsroom. I don't really see this huge difference that everyone keeps pointing to.
Yeah, well, let me ask you about how the U.S. government has viewed it, because since the 2016 elections, there's been a lot of conversation in the U.S. about the problems of sort of fake news and foreign propaganda, foreign news outlets operating in the U.S. And a lot of that, to be honest, was generated by Russia Today, the Russian right. state television news network that, you know, clearly worked to foment discord in the U.S., both online and in its television coverage. And so as a result, the Justice Department pressured a number of news organizations owned by foreign countries to register as basically foreign agents in the U.S., not as journalists, but as foreign agents in the same way that diplomats or foreign lobbyists are under this act. I believe it's called the Foreign Agents Registration Act. How has this affected CGTN?
Well, obviously, I mean, we've got journalists who've worked at CNN, had distinguished careers at a number of news organizations. So this is the last thing in the world we wanted. I mean, none of us wanted this. And I think it's patently unfair, and I think it's discriminatory. I mean, if you watch our broadcast, which I would say most of the people who write about us don't, I would put us up there and compare us with the BBC and Al Jazeera. And I don't think, I think anybody who watches us and watches RT would say they're night and day.
So even in your coverage of China, then, you think people watching CGTN's coverage of China, they're not going to see a real difference between how the BBC covers China?
No,
or
they're going to see a huge difference. I'm not going to disagree with you
about
that.
What is that difference?
Okay, so then I would say this: you have a turning point, which is Tiananmen Square. Up to Tiananmen Square, most of the coverage about China, and I've. Colleague of mine, Jim Laurie, who's done research on this, most of the coverage about China was generally positive. After Tiananmen Square, most of the coverage, and almost, I would say almost all of the coverage, is negative about China. And I think that China recognizes they've got to have their own megaphone. And if you came to the United States and said everything that was going on here is terrible and that only bad things happen in the United States, it's not a clear picture of the United States. So we do feature stories. We do stories about China.
And so what you're saying,
you're not going to see on the BBC. You're just not going to see it on the BBC.
It sounds like the Chinese government sees you as a form of sort of soft power diplomacy to soften China's image elsewhere in the world by having their own English language news network.
I don't know that soften their... I'm not soften. I think try and present a more... accurate portrayal of China.
And so, Mike Walter, if I could just pick up on this point, because CGTN has attracted a lot of coverage in the U.S. media recently. The New York Times did a couple of stories in particular that I wanted to raise with you. One of them talked about CGTN receiving what was essentially the Times called propaganda videos from Beijing about China's treatment of the Uyghur minority in the western Xinjiang province. There are a number of news outlets and human rights groups that have reported that hundreds of thousands of Uyghurs are held in detention camps there, are forced to undergo re-education, Communist Party indoctrination, and that CGTN aired sort of like a counter-propaganda report on this, highlighting these as sort of vocational schools, but it depicted the Uyghurs as being grateful to be there. I mean, what sort of position does that put CGTN's American staff in when you get this type of material from Beijing?
Well, you know, obviously there was pushback in our newsroom about it, in that we didn't feel like it was the the full picture. We wanted to illustrate how others view this, kind of as you just pointed out, but also give the Chinese point of view. But one of the things about, you know, Xinjiang, and I've never been to Xinjiang, and so I'm not familiar with, what, you know, I know the BBC has reported this. I've not been there. I don't know what's going on there. I know that they're saying one thing. I know the Chinese government's saying another thing. But I will say this.
How able are you? So the BBC is saying one thing, the Chinese government is saying another. How able is CGTN to get in and make their own report about this issue?
Well, the reporter who went there interviewed people and they said what they said. And that's what ended up in this piece. Now, people might say, well, you know, they put them up to it or whatever. I mean, to me, one of the things I find troubling is the goalposts keep moving, you know, like it's just like, well, you're not covering it enough. You're not doing this or that. The Uyghurs, you know, they are a minority, but there have been terrorist attacks carried out by Uyghur minorities. I mean, this is a UN report, and they talk about attacks in China, May 1998, February 1999, March 1999, May 1999. There's attack in May and July of 2008, buses in Shanghai, Kunming. There was an attack at Tiananmen Square we broadcast. So I think this notion, you know, with my experience, 9/11, we have a Muslim ban in the United States. I mean, there are people who respond in certain ways when there's a terrorist threat. Now, when you look at the United States, we have two neighbors. We've got Canada to the north, Mexico to the south. China has a number of neighbors, Afghanistan and Pakistan being among them, where a lot of terrorist camps are. And if you'll recall, and I'm sure you remember this, let me finish the point. You'll recall this because it happened. Some of the people rounded up in Afghanistan and sent to Guantanamo were Uyghurs. I mean, that's a fact. These are facts.
So this looks to you like you portray this as sort of a counterterrorism.
Here's my point. My point is context. And I don't see that in a lot of the reporting. I see the reporting as this minority, they're persecuted. There's no reason for this to happen. And I think the reasoning behind, you know, a concern in that area is what I've just illustrated here.
Now, but certainly when you look at the scale of this, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people being detained. That's certainly far more than a counterterrorism operation.
No, so I would say...
You're talking about women, you're talking about children, you're talking about mass surveillance.
And that's what
goes far, far beyond any sort of reasonable counterterrorism.
Okay, so now let me ask you this. Is that a journalist who's actually gone into one of these places and surveyed this, or are these the accounts of people? I mean, my problem is I've found in journalism, when people say it's black and white, generally it's gray. And I find if somebody says everybody over there in Xinjiang is going and it's a re-education camp and they're all singing and dancing, that's probably not true. But if everybody in Xinjiang is being persecuted, that's probably not true either.
Well, let me just ask you about another challenging kind of story. And that's the regular broadcast on Chinese state television of forced confessions, of dissidents, of political prisoners. CGTN several years ago in the U.S. broadcast the confession of this Canadian guy named Peter Humphrey. I understand he was a private investigator. He'd been accused of stealing data on people in China and selling it. His confession was broadcast on CGTN. Now, since he's been released, he said that he was basically locked in a cage and chained to a chair and sort of forced to read this. And he accuses the network of basically participating in humiliating him. And what's your response to that?
Well, I think I mentioned to you before the broadcast, I was away on vacation. I'm not really familiar with that case. I did see that was mentioned in the New York Times. You know, I don't know what to tell you about that. That's not something that I have a lot of familiarity with.
I mean, do you have conversations with the leadership of CGTN about this?
So in my particular case, I wasn't even familiar with this until it actually appeared in this article. So I was not aware of it. So it was not something I ever brought up. But I think that, you know, I think one of the problems I have with the type of journalism about China and about us is the strength of weak links. You know, it's like, let's take this little piece of information, let's string it with this one, and this one, and suddenly you have this nefarious CGTN's, this all-powerful instrument of the Chinese government who's trying to brainwash Americans and the West, and I don't think it's true.
Well, I think I understand your point on that, and I think it's well made, but I think what others might say is that CGTN, Russia Today, they're both news networks, and that for a lot of their coverage, it does look like CNN and it does look like BBC, but when it comes to issues that have specific Chinese interests involved, or in the case of RT, specific Russian interests involved, all of a sudden the coverage looks very different, and that it's propaganda.
So here's the thing.
And that it's this mix, right? So that the casual viewer might turn it on and say, like, oh, this is just like Al Jazeera.
I think that's kind of a stretch. It's a mix. I mean, I think these are isolated cases that the New York Times likes to hit and other news organizations. As I said, the Humphrey story, I don't even remember that. So Xinjiang, I do remember that. And I do remember the pushback in our newsroom that we've got to do a much better treatment of this. And we did. We retreated that story to show the other perspective.
Just to remind our audience that you're tuned into Global Journalist, I'm Jason McClure. On today's program, we're talking about the China Global Television Network, the 24-hour news station owned by the Chinese government that broadcasts around the world and reaches about 35 million U.S. households. If you're interested in more Global Journalists, check us out online at globaljournalist.org. There you can find our archives and additional coverage of underreported international news, human rights, and press freedom issues. You can also like us on Facebook, where we live stream, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, or see our videocast on YouTube. To the extent that there are these sort of difficult or sensitive issues, I imagine that it's only getting more challenging. You know, 10 or 15 years ago, China was very much more of a regional power. And today, it's clearly a global power. It has interests, you know, has a military base in Africa, this Belt and Road Initiative, where China is lending money and financing these huge infrastructure projects all over the world. China is just, it's so much more of a global power now that it must be getting harder and harder to cover all different parts of the world, given China's different interests there.
I don't really see that, but I do think it's interesting. They do have a base in Djibouti, but how many bases do the United States have around the world? I mean, everybody makes a big point about how they have this base in Africa. The U.S. has military bases all over the world.
Well, let me ask you this, since we talked about Russia Today. I mean, I think there are some important distinctions about between CGTN and Russia Today. I mean, clearly during the run-up to the U.S. election, Russia Today was trying to foment division in the U.S., within U.S. politics. I think there was even a video that that some of these Russian trolls put out that fomented an actual fight between Americans, the Trump supporters and anti-Trump supporters. CGTN seems to be a bit different. How would you compare the two?
I think it's night and day. I mean,
I think it certainly presents a very positive image of China.
Well, and I think also, I think that there's a difference in Russia and China in terms of how they present themselves. I think Russia's pretty aggressive. I don't know that China, I don't see China in that regard, you know. And clearly, you know, I know that we've had, you know, our boss had to register with FARA. Under protest, wasn't happy about it. I mean, if you stack up our journalism against RT's, I think they're night and day. I mean, we won a national Emmy a couple of years ago. We won three of our photojournalists just won White House Photographer Awards, the most of any news agency. I mean, we've done stuff on climate change that I think can rival anybody else's. So I think our journalism, I don't think that RT is about journalism, really. I think it's exactly as you just described it. I don't, you know, when it comes to the trade war, I think we've done a fair representation of how it's impacting China and also how it's impacting farmers in Iowa, and not just there. We did pecan farmers in Georgia, and just a number of, we've done a lot of, I think while you look at journalists here in the United States at MSNBC or CNN or Fox, while they're concentrating on tweets by the President of the United States, we're concentrating on the stories and we're getting out in the field and telling those stories. So I think in that regard, if you want a more nuanced coverage and you're not all that interested in getting the President's tweets 24/7, you should watch us.
And just back to that issue of editorial independence, which you raised, you know, in the New York Times coverage about CGTN having to register as a foreign agent, you know, it quoted, I believe it's one of your bosses at the network, Majin, saying that basically CGTN, similar to what you're saying, has editorial independence from the Chinese government. The Times reported that that actually didn't go over well with the Chinese authorities, that this idea that a news outlet could be editorially independent of the Chinese government, that's owned by the Chinese government, isn't sort of part of their system.
Yeah, I have some issues with that New York Times article, but I don't, you know, that's way above my pay grade. Those are the bosses, and you know, in those meetings, they don't invite you or I into those meetings. Sure. So I don't know if there's annoyance there or not. I mean, that's what, and I think if I remember correctly, having read that article a while back, I think that was a supposition on the part of some analyst they interviewed who said that the Chinese government doesn't like this sort of thing.
But I want to ask you as well about how you cover Washington when you're registered, when your organization is registered as a foreign agent. I mean, there's all these, you know, Washington is a place where you need lots of passes and IDs, and you need a congressional press pass to cover Congress, and you need a separate pass to cover the Supreme Court. Like, how has this affected sort of the mechanics of how your reporters operate, or how will it?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. We have hard passes for the White House. That hasn't changed, although it was the White House that, has really kind of spearheaded this campaign against us. And I think part of it is, to be honest with you, is political. I mean, our coverage of how the trade war is impacting the United States. We've done a lot of coverage of it. Suddenly, I'm sure they're not very happy about it. So we still have two hard passes to the White House. We have two correspondents that cover the White House on a daily basis. The congressional correspondence passes, we put in for it. We haven't heard back. I don't know how that's going to go. I know that RT's congressional passes were revoked. Then you have to get creative. You have to figure out how do you cover stories without the pass. I mean, that's journalism. We do that all the time. We can't get in here to do this. Let's go over here and see if we can get it from that vantage point. We're not happy about it. I mean, I think I made that clear. Was there a huge difference the day before we were registered, the next day? I haven't seen it.
And our time grows short, but I just wanted to ask you about CGTN's model. Do you think that this is something 10 years from now, 15 years from now, we're going to be seeing more and more state-owned news networks like CGTN? Is this something that you think is going to continue to grow and spread? Because 15 years ago, 20 years ago, there were far fewer 24-hour English language news networks than there are today.
Well, I really do, because I think every story that comes from the United States, and I've traveled around a lot, I know you've been in the African continent, I think everything comes from this kind of U.S. lens and this kind of Western prism. And I don't think it's bad to kind of broaden that out. And one of the things I love about where I work is we have people that are from China, we have people from Iran, we have people from the U.K., we have people from all over the world. And we go into a meeting, we say, let's do this story, and this is how I see it. But you have five or six other points of view about that same story. No, I see it this way. And I think it just kind of broadens and makes us think differently. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think this kind of myopic view that the U.S. has, that the only thing that matters is what's happening here, I don't think that's healthy. And it's interesting. You go around the world, people know a lot more about the U.S. than the U.S. knows about the world. And I think as a result, you probably will see more networks like this.
Well, we're out of time for this edition of Global Journalist, a production of the Reynolds Journalism Institute at the Missouri School of Journalism and KBIA, Mid-Missouri Public Radio. Many thanks to Mike Walter for joining us. Mike, of course, is the host of CGTN's Full Frame. He's also an anchor at CGTN. Global Journalist's director is Travis McMillan. Our audio engineer is Aaron Hay. Kathy Kiley is executive editor. Support for this program comes from the Knight Foundation through the Lee Hills Chair in Free Press Studies at the University of Missouri. For all of us at Global Journalist, I'm Jason McClure. Thanks for tuning in.